You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to another Locked On Wolves podcast. The dynamic duo is back, Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky. Thank you, everyone. I would like to say right off the top, thank you, everyone. It was a fun weekend. There was a lot back and forth. Felt like the most back and forth in a while that we've had with the Twitter followers, the Twitter fan base. It was really good to hear from all of you. Really enjoyed communicating back and forth. Got a few questions for the show, which is where we'll start this morning. And so I encourage you, if you haven't done it, to go on a Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. At Locked On T-Wolves is that Twitter account. Also, you can reach out to Trey at Trey Flynn NBA or myself, C. Molesky. All of those, we will respond as fast as possible if you reach out to any one of those three Twitter accounts. Trey, it's fun to hear from the people.
For sure. I'm really happy that Timberwolves Nation came out after we've been asking for a few days to ask us some questions, because even though, Cole, and I think we have a pretty good perspective of what's going on in Minnesota Timberwolves Nation, it's nice to hear from some fans, and I think it gives us some groundwork, some new things to work with, some ideas we haven't really thought about before. And right off the top, I think we have an exciting question from Joe.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Twitter questions, then we're going to get to what happened this weekend before we lock in to some Kings Timberwolves basketball going down tonight. But Trey is right. We're going to start right off the top. Joe Grundy on Twitter asked us, he says, I'm listening to several Timberwolves podcasts lately saying that hopefully D-Rose doesn't get extended this summer. Am I missing something? I understand he doesn't need an invitation to shoot in unlikely spots and will cost us in salary, but surely a quality option off the bench. So I gotta agree with Joe's sentiment. I actually really like Derrick Rose. Now, I understand why some people would be hesitant, Trey, because you wonder how much you can depend on a guy like Derrick Rose just with his injury history. And maybe you're thinking you got away with a little bit of highway robbery, giving him the veteran minimum this year and then getting such good production from him off the bench, and you don't want to double down and just be paying him a little more than you are this year for next year and have him mess up his knee four games in, and all of a sudden you're paying him a bunch of money and he's going to be injured all season. I get that side of it, but it seems like the risk to not have him is way higher, isn't it? I mean, it seems like just rolling with a bunch of unknowns at point guard or going with less depth in the backcourt is really a bigger risk than the flyer that Derrick Rose is going to be out the rest of the year, so you shouldn't sign him.
For sure. And, you know, like riding with Dunking with Wolves at FanSided, I got a lot of flack for writing such positive things about Derrick Rose and his play over the past year and a half, especially leading into that Houston Rockets series last year. I said picking up Rose was a key pickup for Minnesota going into that playoff series, mostly because I've always been on, you know, the downtrend of Jeff Teague. I think I've talked about that way too much, but also I thought the pairing of Thibodeau and Rose was a good idea, and the fact that Jimmy Butler and Rose, you know, played together for as long as they did in Chicago, I thought it just made complete sense last season. And then this summer, I had some Timberwolves Twitter kind of talk me into maybe questioning whether to bring back Derrick Rose or not. And then when I saw him training in the off season and then considering taking a minimum contract in Minnesota, I knew he was legit. And I knew that he knew he was a different type of player now than he was before. And I think that was the biggest thing, was that fans and media analysts alike were looking at Derrick Rose and they were thinking he's trying to be his MVP self and he's not that guy anymore. And if you listen to one interview from Derrick Rose, you will definitely realize that he does not think he's his MVP self. He thinks he's better in terms of IQ, and he's 100% correct. He doesn't have the athleticism that he used to have, but he's a really, really smart player, and we shouldn't fault him for that. And I think that this question from Joe is a really great one, because I'm hearing this too all over Timberwolves Nation, is that they'd rather bring back Tyus Jones and with a qualifier this summer and then sign him long term, which makes sense, complete sense for Tyus Jones, and then get the player option with Jeff Teague. Unfortunately, that's just going to be up to Teague, and he'll probably take it because it's close to $20 million. But the idea of not to bring back Derrick Rose when we're talking about probably the second best player on this team currently, and I'm putting him over Wiggins in this case, is ridiculous, because we're not talking about bringing Derrick Rose back on a $10 million deal. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that he's going to be asking for that. I think he gets enough money from sponsors like Adidas where that is not even necessary. And if we're lucky, and the weirdest thing is, I'd feel like we were lucky to get back Derrick Rose. And fans, and some fans at least, and not Joe, obviously, and then some media analysts are saying that we are better off without him, doesn't make any sense to me. I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are probably a bottom six team in the league this year if they don't have Derrick Rose. And that's, I really don't think that's a hot take. He's really been our go-to guy at the end of games. He's won a few games for us this season and the bottom minute of a game. And I just think that I feel like we're a little bit spoiled with this version of Derrick Rose. And I get the points of him and off-the-court actions and things that are going on with Rose off the court, why fans would be hesitant to want to bring him back, but I feel like they're mostly commenting on his basketball ability, and there's nothing negative to say on his basketball ability and what he's bringing on a night-to-night basis when he's playing at least.
I don't understand why the disinterest in Rose is so high when he's playing so efficiently. I mean, yeah, sure, maybe he takes a couple shots that are a little funky or maybe some shots you don't want to see him take. That's one to two shots per game instead of six to seven shots like he used to be for the Knicks when he was playing just a couple of seasons ago. His efficiency is really improved. He's really owned like three spots on the basketball court that you know he can get, or he has like a couple of moves or a couple of spots where he can just get to those places five to seven times per game and score every single time or get to the free throw line. And he's kind of sticking to those areas. He's not trying to do too much. He's willing to play off ball. He's more than happy to come off the bench. And I think that's why he's been so valuable. And speaking of off the bench, we're going to get to another Twitter question here because there's some people, Alan in particular, who has been reaching out to us a lot on Twitter for a long time. Alan, thank you so much for reaching out. He asked, why haven't we signed Melo yet? Mostly it's because he would not be a very efficient player off the bench, nor I don't think he would even want to come off the bench. And as bad as players like Wiggins have been at certain spots in this season, and as injury prone as the Timberwolves have been, especially the starters this year, there's no way I can see Carmelo Anthony getting starting minutes or being okay with coming off the bench. And I don't even like the idea of him coming off the bench for the Timberwolves, but I definitely don't like the idea of him somehow getting some starting minutes. And there's just no way that this marriage would ever work.
Yeah. Well, first off, shout out Alan. That was really nice of you, Colton, to shout him out again, because Alan has been commenting under our stuff for quite a while now, and he's given some good insight on our pods recently. And I think, you know, as Colt and I keep on doing this throughout, you know, however long we do this, hopefully for a really long time, I think we'll build on these listeners and build on these questions coming in. And Alan's the true OG, so we'll remember you for that. And then in terms of Carmelo Anthony, yeah, no thank you. I'm on board with what you're saying, Colton. I don't want Carmelo on this basketball team. And I think more so fans shouldn't be asking, why isn't Carmelo an idea for Minnesota pickup? Maybe the question should be, why don't championship contender teams want Carmelo Anthony on the minimum contract? If championship teams don't want Carmelo Anthony, that's not a good sign for Carmelo to go to a team that's a middle tier trying to make the playoffs, right? Even if we need a player that's a good scoring push off the bench, we don't really necessarily need the baggage that comes along with Carmelo Anthony. And in fact, I'd rather have Jamal Crawford back than Carmelo, just because I feel like Crawford knows his role more and he would kind of just give that spark off the bench if needed, even though I feel like obviously he takes crazy high volume shots and they're contested a lot of times. It's essentially what you get with Carmelo, but a lot more baggage with Anthony. And I really don't want that. And so while I really appreciate this question, I just can never see this happening, and I don't think Carmelo will get signed by an NBA team this season or next year, and I think he'll probably end up having to retire fairly soon.
Raise your hand if you didn't even realize Melo was on the Rockets for the last, what was it, month and a half of his Rockets tenure? Because he wasn't even with the team. He was like in the Bahamas fishing, and then all of a sudden you get the Bleacher Report or the ESPN update, and is the Rockets have officially waived Melo. Wait, that just happened? That just happened? It wasn't a month and a half ago? And there's a reason for that, and it's because he is not aged well into a different kind of role. And we've seen this before, right? I mean, you just talked about one player. Jamal Crawford is a guy who aged really well. Guys like Ray Allen, he aged really well into another sort of role for teams, for various teams around the league. Guys like Kobe Bryant did not age as gracefully. Guys, and I realize injury had a lot to do with that one, but still, guys like Carmelo Anthony did not age very well. And while that shouldn't, I think it's cast a really bad light on what he did at the beginning of his career, which probably is the wrong response as well. I also think that that doesn't justify him being on a team to hope you can somehow resurrect that kind of Carmelo Anthony. It's just not there. It's just not there anymore. And as unfortunate as that is, we definitely don't want him on the Timberwolves. So we're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to what happened over this busy weekend before we talk about the Kings. First, some sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, just answering some Twitter questions. Again, thank you to all the people who are not just asking questions, but communicating with us over the weekend on Twitter. Fun to hear from you guys. Keep doing it. Keep it up. Love to hear what you have to say, your thoughts, your ideas about what's going on with the Timberwolves, all that good stuff. Love to hear from you guys. And speaking of which, this wasn't a question, but I was going back and forth just a little bit with another guy, another listener who listens to the podcast, or I hope he listens to the podcast. Adam was reaching out to me on Twitter, and he was just noticing the effort that the Timberwolves had, especially against the Bucks. And over the weekend, they have the win in New York, and then they lose without Carl Anthony Towns after he had the car accident and was out against the Knicks and the Bucks. They lose without Carl Anthony Towns to the Bucks on the road, but it was a really close game. And I don't really want to talk about the Knicks because they're trying to lose most of these games anyways. But that Bucks game, the Timberwolves came out and they surprised me. Didn't they surprise you, Trey?
I mean, we had a 2-point lead going into that fourth quarter. I did not see that coming, Colton. If we would have had a podcast Saturday morning, I would have been like, yeah, I think I'm calling the L here. And I think we might have called the L on Friday morning. I think we said we'd win against New York, lose against Milwaukee, and then win against Sacramento tonight. But I really did not see us even being this close to Milwaukee. They are such a good basketball team, Colton. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a freak. I mean, that's why he's called Greek Freak. But also the rest of his players on this team, I was so surprised we kept up with them. Like, guys like Chris Middleton and, Eric Bledsoe, Malcolm Brogdon, Brook Lopez, Nikola Mirotic off the bench. He scored 17 points in 18 minutes, almost a point a minute, which is ridiculous. Like, the fact that we're able to keep up with these guys shows that Minnesota is actually pretty good. It's just that I think the Western Conference is insane. There was a great game by a lot of different players in this one. I love how we spread the ball, which I thought was the most important part of this game in the past two games. But the number one thing I want to shout out right off the top is Colton for calling how great Taj Gibson would play against New York. And then he comes back because Carl Anthony Towns is out due to his car accident, which he's actually okay. He's playing tonight. But Taj Gibson, Colton, what a call. Taj Gibson the past two games has been playing fantastic. He's averaging close to 20 points and 8 rebounds. And I hope he comes back off the bench tonight with Towns coming back to play a very similar way of basketball, because he was really giving it to Milwaukee at one point in this one.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. The wily veteran still has plenty of moves in his bag of tricks to pull out against young guys, and there's a lot of young guys on both of those teams, and so he was able to work some magic. But it was tough, because anytime he, or when you had Kita Bates-Diop, who actually looked pretty good in some spots against the Bucks, anytime those two guys had to try and contend with Giannis, it was just ugly. It was just no fun for anybody. And I think that Giannis still has a pretty decent game against Carl Anthony Towns, but at least you have another superstar to throw at the stud and the MVP candidate in Giannis that the Bucks are throwing at you. So it was a bummer. I tell you what, it was almost as cringeworthy when Kita was against Giannis as Ja Rule at the halftime. It was almost that cringeworthy.
I can't believe the Minnesota Timberwolves Twitter account got shouted out by Ja Rule. Like, how did that really happen? Like, I was just laughing until I went to bed that night. Like, that was ridiculous.
I can't believe he thinks he has the clout for curses. Boy, you didn't have anybody cheering for you at the halftime. You stink and you're a thief. Shut up.
Yes, if you have not watched that documentary on Netflix, The Fire Festival, please go. This is not a plug. Not a plug. But go check it out.
Not a sponsor.
Not yet.
Yeah, so that was a good game just for the Timberwolves to show that I thought it was just a nice establishment of their grit and their grind and that they are not going away, that they're not giving up on this season. And I think when we were talking going into the All-Star break before even their two-game run, this was the switch we needed to see flip from them to give us the hope that, no, we don't need to tank the rest of the season because they're actually going to make a play for that playoff spot and actually going to have some fight in them. Because I tell you what, at the end of January, there was not this spark in this team. And now you have Towns coming back. Like you said, it wasn't super serious in that car accident. It sounds like a pretty minor concussion to have him already back. And so that's really good, but they're going to get healthy again, and hopefully it looks like Ertig is questionable, but you at least have Tyus and Derrick Rose for this compliment on the backcourt. You're going to get Towns back, and it looks like Gorgie's going to be back. So you got a lot of pieces coming back as you're showing some spark and some fire, and you're going to be, what is it, at home, right, against the Kings, if memory serves. So I like the place that this Timberwolves team is in.
For sure, and I think that this Milwaukee game really showed me that without Towns, there's a lot of different guys who can step up. And, Colin, the first thing I noticed over the past two games is this guy we haven't really talked much about, but Andrew Wiggins is back over the past two games, and he's looked interesting. Like, I know he was sick and he was out, but I did notice that they were trying not to let him have the ball as much against New York. He ended up shooting more shots than I'd like, but without Karl-Anthony Towns, what else are you going to do? But in the past two games back, he's averaging 17.5 points. He's shooting 40% from the field, 15 shot attempts, 60% from three at 5 3-point attempts. And then he's averaging 7.5 rebounds and 3 assists. Like, if he can keep that up over the next few games, I'm fine with that. If those numbers don't look that drastically different from his previous numbers, just his shooting percentages being up and his volume taking a bit of a dip, that's exactly what I want to see. And if he can continue to do that and he can become a more efficient player like tonight against Sacramento, I think that'll be key going against the Kings tonight. And I love seeing that out of him. And some of the shot distribution that went elsewhere was like to guys like Josh Okogie, who was 6 of 9 from the field and 2 of 2 from 3-point line against Milwaukee. And then you had Anthony Tolliver go 5 of 7 from the 3-point line off the bench. It's just like those kind of players that's going to take this team to the next level, because on every great playoff team, there's always 3 to 4 really good role players. And without Robert Covington, we've been really looking for our guys. And now we get Tyus Jones back and healthy, and he looked great last game with 4 steals and 9 assists and 9 points. It's these kind of players that are really going to separate Minnesota from teams outside of the playoff conference. So I can't wait for this Kings game tonight. I'm a little nervous, though, Colin, for these Kings.
I hate to rain on your positivity here, because you know I like when you're positive. You really dislike Wiggins. You dislike Teague. So I try and encourage your positivity. But Wiggins went 1 for 5 in the fourth quarter. And he played basically 9 minutes, went 1 of 5. I would really love, if I'm going to see a turnaround from Wiggins, those are one of those crucial spots. Towns is out, you're a max contract player, and Giannis is starting to do some things. Giannis had 7 points. He went 2 of 3 in 7 minutes, had 5 rebounds, 7 points, 2 assists. That's one of those spots where Giannis is doing some things, and it really was a collaborative effort. 33 points in that fourth quarter, collaborative effort from Milwaukee. It wasn't just Giannis taking over, but you have Giannis doing some things right away at the beginning of that fourth quarter, and you're going up against him. You don't have Towns. You're the max contract player. I need to see something more than 1 of 5 and 3 points with a couple rebounds. Like, come on. I really want to see him take over games that aren't against the Oklahoma City Thunder, because obviously he's the mayor of Oklahoma City and that's just what he does. But let's let's take over some games outside of that, please, for the love of God.
Oh no, Colton, you're bringing the negativity back outside of me now. The thing is, Colton, I just have different standards for Andrew Wiggins at this point. Like, my standards are so low to this point where if I see 7 of 15, 3 of 5 from the field, I could care less what went on in the fourth quarter. I'm just excited that I see efficient shooting. He almost shot 50% from the field against Milwaukee. Like, what? This is one of the best defensive teams in the league, if not the best one. And he actually was able to be efficient in this game against them without Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, this is a good stepping stone for me. And I understand the fourth quarter woes, but nobody on this Timberwolves team could do anything in the fourth quarter. And I get the max contract thing. That is definitely what differentiates him from everybody else on this roster. But nobody could make a bucket. Not Dario Saric, not Tyus Jones. Derrick Rose came in, tried his best. He scored most of the points. But, like, it was really, really tough. And, you know, when you're leaving it up to guys like Luol Deng to hopefully make a corner three in the fourth quarter, you're not going to win the basketball game. But albeit, it didn't work out for them, but it showed me that this team has what it takes. But again, I'm nervous for the Sacramento Kings. They're a really fast-paced basketball team. They play really long. And, you know, luckily we have Towns back, but I'm just, I don't know, man. I've been watching too much Kings film this year, and I think that they can make some big surprises and turn some heads in the playoffs. And they're kind of scaring me right now, but they're right in front of us in the standings. So this win would be absolutely huge and monumental for this organization right now.
Derrick Rose in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes, 6 points, 2 of 3 shooting. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. That one ill-advised three that he took in the fourth quarter against the Bucks, just a statement to the terrible usage that he has. Get rid of him. Get rid of him, folks. We're going to take a break for some sponsors. Then let's talk more about the Kings. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we've answered your questions. We've given some people shout-outs. We've talked about the Bucks. Now we're talking about Kings versus Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are back home after a stint on the road. They're going to be in Target Center. 28-31 against the 31-28 Sacramento Kings. Both these teams clawing and fighting their way, trying to get that 8th seed here for the Western Conference playoffs. They're right there. It's the Kings at number 9, the Lakers 29-30 at number 10, and the Timberwolves right there at number 11. All these teams right there hovering around the 33-28 San Antonio Spurs and LA Clippers, who are right there in the bottom two slots in the Western Conference playoffs. So tonight, going to be a little interesting, just because this team has some different players. I think obviously you're going to have like Willie Cauley-Stein, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdanovich. Those guys are going to be important because they were there last time the Kings played the Timberwolves. But also you got some new faces. You've got guys like Harrison Barnes. You've got Corey Brewer on this team. You got Temple. There's a couple different pieces on this team that you didn't have last time that maybe will surprise the Timberwolves. And it really has, I think the lesson over the last, I don't know what it's been, over the last month, over the last few weeks of Kings basketball, is that it really seems to be, while guys like De'Aaron Fox have taken a big step forward, guys like Buddy Hield have taken a big step forward, it really does seem to be a vast majority of the working mechanics of this team seem to be attributable to the system rather than the players on it. Because there's a lot of different pieces on this roster over the last couple of weeks that have been added, and they're still churning out some wins. They just beat OKC on the road.
Yeah, Dave Yeager's definitely helped that team a lot. And I think, you know, the DeMarcus Cousins departure and what Vlade has done there with that organization is fantastic. Getting guys like Buddy Hield and Bogdanovich in the draft, obviously De'Aaron Fox, who I thought was the number one prospect in that draft. Obviously, he shouldn't have been the top first pick, but he's definitely the best point guard of that draft. And then you're looking at other guys.
Little flex there.
I had to flex a little bit, but the other guys on this roster, like you just noted, who I actually forgot. So host I am, Colton, like Harrison Barnes on this Kings team, like pretty much a more effective Andrew Wiggins, I guess. Like is that essentially what Harrison Barnes is? But that's what he is for.
This is like your new favorite thing, is just finding the guy that you can most compare to Andrew Wiggins and then finding how much better he is. It's a really self-destructive little trend that you've developed. I don't like what you're doing to yourself.
I really am so excited, but yet so scared for the future pod we're going to have where we debate whether Robert Covington is better than Andrew Wiggins. Okay, I'm going to put that to the side for right now. But the Sacramento Kings are a really good basketball team, really well-rounded and really well-coached for a team that just lost their superstar. That's essentially a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity superstar that you can get in DeMarcus Cousins. And while people don't like DeMarcus Cousins, he is, when healthy, and that's the biggest thing with him this season, when healthy, he is unquestionably the best center in the NBA. And when you have guys like Anthony Davis, you can look at them more of as a mix between the four and the five. Cousins is a bully in the paint. There is nobody like him in the league right now. And the fact that he can shoot from anywhere on the court is insane. So when they lost him, I thought this team was going to be in the gutter for a long time. But they decide not to do that. They're playing really, really well. And Cole, and we aren't just fighting for the eighth seed here, right, with the Clippers anymore. The San Antonio Spurs are in the seventh seed, tied with the Clippers with the eighth seed. Okay, so they're both four games in front of Minnesota, and you could potentially see San Antonio and Los Angeles dropping out of these playoff seedings and seeing the Kings and LeBron James-led Lakers jump into those seventh or eighth spots, with Minnesota trying to fight their way up there as well. And that looks like what might happen over the course of the next 22-23 games, which is pretty exciting. So it makes games tonight like some of the first must-win games of the seasons. So I'm definitely going to say tonight's a must-win game for Minnesota. However, I'm not too sure what they're going to have to battle the strong shooting and quick-paced backcourt and wings that Sacramento possesses. But the center is the interesting position here, okay? And I know that's every game with Karl-Anthony Towns. But Willie Cauley-Stein, every once in a while, I'll say every 4 to 5 games, he shows glimpses of being a dominant center in this game that's deserving of a very high contract. However, there are some games where he looks like he shouldn't even be in the league, right? And that is the toughest thing with Willie Cauley-Stein. And he essentially said this season he's playing to make money this season. And he's been playing like that. It's his best season of his career. And they've essentially ran this fast-paced offense. A lot of people think it's ran around De'Aaron Fox. And while that's true, people seem to forget how quick Willie Cauley-Stein is. And I'm pretty sure he's the fastest 40 out of any starting center in the NBA currently. So that says a lot about this basketball team. And while Karl-Anthony Towns is nimble on his feet, Willie Cauley-Stein tries to show up against really good basketball teams, so I'll be interested to see that matchup tonight. So I'm very excited for that one. And I'm not really sure how to judge this game, Cole, and I just think it's going to be down to the wire.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's going to be, can the Timberwolves change the pace? I think is going to be the number one thing, because and talking with Matt George earlier, who runs the Locked On Kings podcast, talking with him earlier this season, it really is all about pace and playing really fast and getting guys out of position, scoring a lot of points in transition against teams. That's what the Kings basketball is all about. And so trying to slow down that pace, trying to get them to play to the speed that the Timberwolves are comfortable at, that's going to be, I think, the biggest challenge for the Timberwolves here. We mentioned some other players who are new faces to this team and how that could give the Timberwolves some challenging new looks, along with how good the players already on the roster who have been there the whole season have been. And I just wanted to shout out to a guy who I know for a fact that I said that I was underwhelmed by, Marvin Bagley. And then I think right away afterwards, because that was a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, right away afterwards, he's been on a really nice tear the last 7 games. He's averaging just a shade over 18 points per game in comparison to his 13-point average over the season. He's shooting 47.9, so basically 48% from the field. He's getting to the free throw line a bunch, over 6 free throw attempts per game, and he's shooting 75% from the free throw line, averaging 9 rebounds and 1.3 blocks per game in these last 7 games. So he's been on absolute tear, and he almost feels like that might be, you could almost count him as another new face, the revamped Marvin Bagley III in this game, as another contender for one of those surprise guys, because the Timberwolves didn't really get to see him at full powers last time they played him. Now they're going to be playing a Marvin Bagley who has been on a tear as of late, and that it's just all not, it's not going well for the Timberwolves, just as if you're looking at, all right, so they've got this fast-paced team. They're really good at shooting threes. Their three-point percentage is fourth in the league. They're hitting 37.7% of their three-pointers, and they're taking over 30 threes per game. Them and the Golden State Warriors are the only teams in the top 5 as far as three-point percentage while shooting over attempting over 30 threes per game. And so to be in the same company as the Warriors in an offensive stat that does not bode well for the competition, which is the Timberwolves tonight, all this is making me a little nervous, Trey.
Yeah, I'm nervous too, and that's why I'm saying, like, I'm not really sure how to judge this one. I like the call with Marvin Bagley and you just stating that he's been playing so well lately, because that, you know, that can be under, you know, that's not really a story that's being developed right now, essentially. Like, a lot of people are talking about rookies like Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson Jr., who unfortunately just got injured. But Marvin Bagley's been a surprise for the second half of this season. He's been playing extremely, extremely well. And a lot of it has to do with Dave Yeager's confidence in him and putting more minutes in him. Because in the first half of the season, he was averaging around 22 minutes. Now I think he's averaging around 26, 27. So that's a big difference. And last game, the Kings just beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in a really close outing. They won by 3 points, 119 to 116. Bagley played 36 minutes in that game off the bench. He had 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Like, he was everywhere. But yeah, this team is a really interesting lineup. Their starting lineup is De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Harrison Barnes at the 4, which is really odd, and then Willie Cauley-Stein. So they play a really small ball lineup, really fast-paced. And if you can't tell, if you're a listener off the lineup I just noted, next year they're hoping to not re-sign Cauley-Stein to that $15, $20 million contract that he's going to want, and they're hoping to put Bagley at the center position to essentially be the first real dominant small ball lineup that probably plays 82 games like that, with De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdanovic, Harrison Barnes, and Marvin Bagley, which sounds like a lot of fun. Like, I'd like to be a Kings fan in that situation. Like, that sounds like a lot of fun. But in this game tonight, we're going to see Bagley play at that 5 and switch between the 4. And he can even play the wing at times if need be. He's really good on the defensive end too, with his 3 blocks and 2 steals in the last game. So he's definitely one of the players to watch out for this one. For Minnesota, essentially, Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins are going to discount each other. Like, they both will have the same production in this game, I predict. And then I think this will just be up to Karl Anthony Towns and how much the Timberwolves are going to have to rely on Derrick Rose in the fourth quarter. If they're going to have to rely on him a lot, I'm really nervous. Not that I don't think he can do it, but that's usually when Minnesota's kind of given up on everybody else, is when they're relying on Rose in the last 5 minutes. So I think the guy to really watch in this one is Karl Anthony Towns, and hopefully he can pull through and essentially make Willie Cauley-Stein look terrible. That's the goal.
I hope so, and hopefully they can try and summon some sort of three-point defense to slow the bleeding at least a little bit from the outside shooting. Because, again, this team is really accurate from outside. I was actually super surprised by that stat, that they are one of only two teams in the top five in three-point percentage that are averaging over 30 three-point attempts per game. And it's them and the Warriors. And so it's a really fast-paced, deep three-point shooting team. And if they're gonna give the Timberwolves hell tonight, it's gonna be a lot of fun, and hopefully they bring that same energy that they brought against the Bucks, and they're able to find a win and keep them in this race with the Clippers and the Lakers and the Kings and the Spurs. I'm predicting right here, right now, I'm predicting that Towns is enough of a swing with this roster. I mean, you see some of the tweets coming out from just the guys who were there covering the game live in Milwaukee. Some of the tweets coming out from some of those reporters just about how the locker room felt and the atmosphere around the team even after the loss. It feels like these guys are juiced and these guys are amped to be in this spot and controlling their own destiny and trying to make this run. I just think the energy tonight is going to be really good. I'm calling a win, a victory for the Timberwolves, 118 to 115.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my prediction when I said we were going to go 14-11 over the next 25 games. I think I said that Friday or Thursday. And in that prediction, I had us beating Sacramento tonight. And even with the loss against Milwaukee, Colton, I think you're 100% right. They're making jokes about taking the car ride back with John Krasinski, like, after the game against Milwaukee, and that was hilarious. I think it was Towns. And, like, just that kind of lighthearted locker room mood that's going on right there with them shows a sign for the better, because that is not the Timberwolves team over the past 12 to 15 to even past 2 years, right? 12, 15 months past 2 years. Like, it's been them more down on themselves and looking and pointing fingers at each other. And now that they lose to a team like Milwaukee, and the game was so close until the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, they're pretty confident. And I like them going into this game, even though I'm scared of Sacramento. It is a home game, and I think a lot of people are going to get excited for Towns because they were really, he was really scared for his life today, and he was saying that that car accident was really crazy. So expect a crazy Towns game tonight, and expect this, you know, these fans to go insane with a hopeful Minnesota win tonight. I predict Minnesota Timberwolves win tonight against Sacramento.
That's it for us. Thanks again to everybody who reached out on Twitter over the weekend, and hope we gave everyone the proper shout outs. Make sure you keep reaching out, keep in contact with us. We will always hit you back if you reach out to us. So thank you so much and enjoy the game tonight. That's it for us here at the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast.